So tonight I have a mix of stories for you, ghost stories. Some I will tell live and some I will play pre-recorded. I'm kind of playing with OBS, and I don't even know if YouTube's going at the moment. I guess I should open YouTube and find out. I was not prepared. My son actually ran out of gas, and so we had to do a couple of things to get started, and now I am checking out the streamy. Okay. Hey, Black Eyed Shorty. Hey, Chadwick Dupre. How are you guys tonight? So, my cat is poking my feet with her claws, as usual, wanting me to play fetch with her. So tonight I am testing OBS and I'm going to be playing some stories. The videos of the stories. And I'm also going to be reading some live stories. The first two stories will be pre-recorded, and then the live one, the rest of them will be live, and then we'll be taking your calls. Which number is on the screen now? I finally put that up there, 646-787-1694. And you can call in your scary stories. Hello, the darkness. How are you tonight? If you're out there watching in Blog Talk Radio land on the podcast, you can join the YouTube chat if you want to. Come over to YouTube and join the chat, Scary Story Time, Spooky Boo Scary Story Time, actually, and have some fun. So I'm going to see how easy it is to switch this and see what it looks like and start with the first story. Here we go. Dum dum dum. You guys hear me talk? Can you guys hear me talk? How was that story? That was a really good story. I liked it. I didn't think it was that long. I had another one I was going to tell, but oh, listen to my feedback. Okay. So, I'm going to read a story now tonight. Unfortunately, my son still has my webcam. I do not have access to it, so I cannot do a live show for you. It will be a semi-live show. If you want, I can put my picture on here. Would that help? That was actually me in the last video with a lot of makeup on. But, yeah. So I'm going to read Mom's Ghost. This is on the Creepypasta Wikia site. In a suburban two-story home, nonstop arguing and fights could be heard. The family living in the home was not very well off. The father and the mother fought constantly, while the son remained oblivious. Being only six, he didn't really understand what they were yelling about, and it didn't bother him too much yet. One day, the argument got really heated, and this time it took place on the second floor. The wife was screaming at her husband, infuriated at God knows what, and she was standing a bit too close to the stairs. The husband pushed her, sending her tumbling down the stairs and breaking her neck on the last step, killing her instantly. Panicked, as he knew his son would arrive home from school, the father hid the body not far from the house. He told his son that Mommy had gone on vacation, and he often did when the son was curious of her whereabouts. Maybe someday he could tell him what truly happened, but for now, he didn't think his own son would suspect anything. A week went by, the son didn't seem affected. The husband shrugged it off, seeming to believe that his son actually bought the lie. A couple of months passed by, and Dad was getting paranoid at this point. Maybe his son knew. Maybe he already reported it to the police, and they were investigating. He was losing his mind, day by day. When he couldn't take it any longer, he went up to his son and asked, "Well, don't you miss Mommy? Don't you think she should be back from her vacation?" The son shook his head and saying a placid no to the father. The father was puzzled and asked his son, "Well, why don't you?" His son gave him a hug. In the embrace, he said something in a very chilling voice that made his father shiver. "Because, Daddy, Mommy has been here the whole time." His father went wide-eyed at hearing this, and he felt a breeze down the back of his neck. He slowly turned around and saw the specter of his deceased wife. "Hi, honey. I'm back from vacation." The end. How did you like that one? Was that one fun? Hello, Uncle Ulrich. How are you doing? Let's see. Oh. Let's get another story to read here, and then we will start taking calls. There's another really short one. Short stories tonight, except for that super long story. This is called Right Behind You. I see what you see. I hear what you hear. Taste what you taste. And I feel what you feel. You never notice me, but I don't blame you. I am not a significant part of your life. I follow you everywhere you go and have seen all the movies you like. I have seen you in love, and I have seen you heartbroken. I only come out in the sunlight, but you never notice or care. You really don't mind me following you everywhere. You go and staying so close to your back. I am surprised that you don't even feel my breath on your neck. I am bonded to your feet, and I take no features. I'm just a black shape during the day. Occasionally, you can see me on the wall. I am your darkness manifested, and you could say that I am your despair. I am what you see in the mirror, but you never noticed. I am attached to you, and I am forced to go everywhere you go. The only time you notice me is when you are alone and you feel something creeping up on you. You can never spot me, though, because I am at your feet and always behind you. Sometimes I make noises and whispers when I'm bored to give you a fright. You can say I am what you would be if you were the opposite of what you are now. Look at yourself in the mirror and you will see me. I wear the opposite shirt with the backwards letter. I wish I could jump out and eat you when you turn around facing away from the mirror. I guess one day, when your mind is shattered, I could jump in and take your place. Maybe when you decide to do some paranormal game like tarot cards or try to contact me, I could jump in and take your place. But rarely does that happen. I'm just your shadow. But one day, we will meet face to face when your heart stops. Ooh. How'd you like that one? Oh, goodness. Some of these are so short. I wish they were longer. This one's real short, too. Let's see. Ouija board. I kept on trembling. I couldn't take it any longer. This was freaking me out. Why did I go into the basement? Why did I have to look into the box? And why, oh God, why did I have to take out that board? I thought it was a game. I was wrong. I contacted a spirit, the wrong spirit. It's all my fault. Jessica is cursed, and it's all my fault. It started like this. 2 days ago, I was looking in the basement for some antiques I could sell on eBay. Jessica, my little six-year-old sister, has always wanted a porcelain doll of her own. I either had to find a porcelain doll or find some money to buy one. For now, it looked like the latter was my only option. Anyway, while I was down in the basement, I dug up this board with letters all over it. Cool, I thought. Jesse would rather have a board game than a stupid old doll. I yanked out the board from the rest of the debris and carried it upstairs. Hey, Jessica, I have a surprise for you. I set the board down. What, Marie? My little sister, still sleepy from her midday nap, scuttled downstairs, her little Daisy Princess slippers squeaking. I have a board game for you, Jess. Isn't it pretty? I kneeled down and started brushing the dust from the board. It's creepy, Marie. I wanted a porcelain doll. I'll get you one, I promise. Come, let's play. Nuh-uh. Jessica shook her head. It's creepy. Come on. It's just old. I patted the floor across from me. Sit. Jessica scooted over to the board and stared at it. Then she plopped down. I'll shut the curtains so no one can look through and tell me cheats, okay?
Okay.
I dimmed the lights and shut the blinds, pulling the curtains over them. I went back and sat down. I think we're supposed to spell stuff with this thingy. I held up a little glass triangle. I put it over H, and Jessica put her hands onto mine. We spelled out, hello. Jessica giggled. Then we spelled out, boogers. I was astonished when Jessica kept playing. We didn't finish spelling lollipops when the piece started moving by itself.
Marie, what's going on?
I honestly don't know, Jessica. The piece spelled out, not a game. I grabbed a hold of the piece. Who are you? I spelled out. Die.
Marie, what does that mean? What does D-I-E mean?
My eyes were open. Crash. The glass table next to us shattered into pieces, and Jessica shrieked.
Marie! I grabbed her and held her close. I stood and looked around. Nothing. Not a baseball, not a prank, nothing.
I sat her down next to me, and holding hands, we spelled out, "Leave us alone." "Leave," it responded. Jessica, being her idiotic self, furiously spelled out,
"Y-O-U."
I pulled her hands away, and the piece spelled, "Haunt." Oh, no. I stared at the board. Next thing I knew, Jessica was shrieking again.
"Marie, something scratched my back."
I jumped behind her and lifted her pink pajama shirt, revealing red marks streaming down her back. Ever since that day, my little Jessica has been tortured. And ever since that day, she has never been the same happy-go-lucky self again. Don't play with the Ouija boards.
Don't you like my little girl voice? Marie!
I can neigh like a horse too, but I'm sure you don't want to hear that. Oh my gosh. Okay, so 3 minutes until phone time. See if we get any callers. I hope the podcast is running. It seems to be. So, it sounds like a Pokemon. What sounds like a Pokemon? My voice? Oh.
It was supposed to sound like a little girl.
Whatever. I don't know. So, anyway, I guess, let's see if there's any calls. No calls on hold. If you want to call in your scary story, you can do so. It's 646-787-1694. I know that screech Marie didn't come out right, really, Uncle. It came out more as a, I don't know how I did that. I read the story for the first time, acting, and I don't know how to memorize acting lines, and I want to write a script. I want to turn Small Leather Gloves into either like a Criminal Minds episode or into a short story movie or something, or maybe a full-length movie. It probably could be if I added a lot of crap to it. But I don't know how to write a script. It's not that hard. I just am not set up for that. And I'm not set up for that. Maybe what I'll do on the podcast, instead of just read everything, is voice act everything. But I can't do the guy stuff. What am I going to do? Talk like this? You know, I can't do the guy stuff. If all of my stories were told in first person, girl or woman or creature, that would be easy. But I can't do the guy. My voice isn't deep enough. And I would sound funny. So, there's any phone calls out there. If you'd like to tell me your scary story, you can call it in at 646-787-1694. Uh-oh. My phone battery's dead. And I bent the end of my USB thingy cable. So, I will have to go get another one. So let's see if there's any more really short stories I can read while waiting for phone calls. You want another Ouija board one? Here's one. It's called The Ouija Board. There have been quite a few discussions about Ouija boards lately, so now feels like an appropriate time to share a true story which happened about 15 years ago. Despite being the typical teen, a lot of people knew that I was different because they had witnessed a lot of weird happenings around me, and trying to find some answers to these strange occurrences led me to try many things, including the Ouija board. I didn't see it as a quest for truth or anything of the sort. It's just something to do for shits and giggles, despite the fact that shit would actually always happen. I would have epic parties, and tons of people would ask me to conjure up some spirits, most of who got stoned out of their minds, while I got everyone relaxed with some meditation techniques and then invited spirits into my home. There would always be some kind of small paranormal incidents, and the house became famous for it. For example, once we heard children playing with a dog, we could hear it run throughout the kitchen, upstairs, and very faint laughter. People were already spooked by this, but they got scared shitless when someone pointed out the fact that the dog was in the basement with us. Then, the most unlikely of people joined one of our Ouija board sessions. This certainly wasn't the kind of girl that I'd imagined being into paranormal stuff. She was kind of preppy, without the snobby attitude, and really down to earth. She was also a grade-A student who never did drugs and probably had never even gotten drunk once in her life. Still, she was incredibly open-minded, even enthused, about the seance, and at some point she got to join in with me. As soon as her hand touched the pointer, the atmosphere changed, and I kept having huge chills running through my body. I knew that something was up. We had definitely some sort of connection, and by the look of her face, it was undoubtedly clear that she felt the same. Her line of questioning started, but these weren't simple questions. They had to do with the things that I had been wondering about myself. This girl knew a lot, and certainly had experiences similar to mine. She invited me over to her home not long after this session. It was a beautiful home in a rich district of the city, but as soon as I walked in, an intense feeling of uneasiness came upon me. It didn't feel right, but I still didn't mention anything about this. I remember sitting in the kitchen discussing music, since we were considering playing a concert together, when all of a sudden I noticed that one of the cupboards was just open, and it definitely wasn't moments before. I pointed toward the cupboard, and she just gave me a weird look, while her boyfriend smiled and simply said, "Oh, that happens sometimes." I finally got to talk to her about this, and she had so many stories to share, which were very similar to mine. She mentioned a presence that always followed her into the room at night, and she could actually see footprints in the thick carpet, which started from the living room, then up the stairway and into her room, all the way into the corner of her closet. She felt this presence peering at her all through the night. It really freaked her out. This is why she insisted on using the board to communicate with spirits again. She wanted some answers. We started using the board on a regular basis, meeting up as many times as we could. There were some undeniable truths, but there was also a lot of crap. It was always hard to tell if it was actually working. It seemed I was more interested in proof, while she was more interested in knowing and understanding what was going on. Not that I was interested in that either, though. Over the course of a month or two, everyone started noticing changes in both her appearance and behavior. She had gone from wearing vividly bright dresses to dark clothes. She missed a lot of classes, and her grades had dropped. She also had withdrawn herself and seemed a lot more reserved. It seemed as though all she could think about was the board. All she talked about was what had been revealed to us and kept putting everything in question. At this point, I suggested that we just call it quits for a while, but she really wasn't too pleased with that, and still promised to stay away for at least a few weeks. That night I had a dream, or more of a vision. She was sitting with a group of friends trying to contact spirits with the board. When I woke up, I phoned her, asked her why she was still playing, And I especially remember that she got really freaked out when I started naming everyone that was there with her. The next day, she explained how it wasn't even working and how she needed me. She asked if I would join her for one session, but I declined and asked her again to quit using the thing. But I knew she wasn't going to give up on it, so I said, "All right, one last time, and if we don't get any proof that this thing even works, we'll cut it up and throw it in the river." Then I added, "And this time we're playing in the graveyard." The plan was simple. We would go to the graveyard, and I'd ask if the person was buried there, get the name, and see if it actually existed. There were quite a few people there, a dozen or so who she had invited. She thought that the spirit could draw the energy from all the people around and gain enough strength to actually bring strong proof. When I suggested my plan, she firmly agreed to it. She had everyone in a circle around the board, and at some point they were even touching it. Our fingers rested against the pointer, and then I felt a sudden weight on my fingertips, and the thing started to move around, spelling out random letters. We explained our system to the spirit, which was to go up to the center of the board between each word, while someone wrote down what was said, and it seemed to understand. Her first question was, "Why are you here?" And it spelled out, "God betrayed me." G-A-W-D-B-E-E-T-R-A-D-E-M-E. Then I asked for its name, and it spelled out H. Gelbert. Then I asked which direction his tombstone was in, and he pointed down in the corner of the graveyard. A friend and I started walking row by row to find this person, but no stone bared the name in that direction. We couldn't even find that name anywhere in the whole place, so I went back and told her that I had one final plan, to hold the board with one hand and the pointer with the other and have it guide us to the site. We picked it up, started to make our way down the hill when I spotted a tombstone way down the hill in the distance, and shivers went right through my body. I had been there, and there was definitely no name by that name. I was sure of it, and yet it felt as though I knew there was something there. I brushed it off, wanting my mind to be completely clear and objective. I looked away from that area and was trying to look up towards the sky, sometimes tripping since I wasn't even looking out in front of me. The thing turned sharply, and at this point, huge shivers kept surging through my entire body. It wasn't out of fear. I really didn't know what it was from. Then, while slowly pacing towards the end of the row, I felt the board slip out of my hands as it hit the ground. My mind went haywire with visions, and I was overwhelmed with emotions. I quickly looked up at my friend, but she was gone, running back up at the hill screaming. My ears were ringing, my eyes were watery, and I couldn't talk, much less go over to her, and yet that's all I wanted to do. Then I noticed the tombstone. It was marked Henry J. Albert. I finally gathered my senses with the help of some friends and walked up to her. Everyone was just staring at her with this look of terror on their faces, and I knelt down to tell her that I understood what had happened when I noticed her eyes, that they were completely black. Someone gave me a flashlight, but her pupils were unresponsive. She was talking to herself, completely incoherent, laughing, crying, screaming, and making no sense at all. So we had to get her out of there. She was in no state to drive her car, so some of friends decided to drive a car for her, and I decided to walk with another one of my friends. While walking, my other friend kept asking me what happened, and I told her that I felt the spirit, that spirit in me. I saw this person's life and what it was that he wanted me to do. He wanted me to speak to his wife, to apologize for some things he had done. We stopped in at the small restaurant. We were sitting towards the back area, and I was describing what I had felt and seen, then told her that I thought perhaps This entity was my friend when all of a sudden I noticed her jaw drop. I quickly turned around, and standing there in the back of me is my friend with a blank look on her face. "I came to pick you up. I'll drive you to home," was all she said. I asked her how she knew where we were, since it was impossible for her to know, but she just reiterated, "I'll drive you to home." Then I noticed her eyes were still as black as when we had left her. We got up and got into the car, and she said she was fine to drive. But once we started moving, she started talking to her hand, laughing hysterically, burning red lights and not doing her stops. She was actually driving to her house, which was on the other side of town, but we didn't dare say anything. She drove into her driveway and got out of her car and said, "I'm so sorry," and left there. This would be the last time she would ever speak to me. Throughout the entire week, everyone said they felt a presence, and shit kept happening to everyone that was there, from weird phone calls to chairs moving by themselves. Everyone was terrified. I remember talking to the friend that was walking home with me. She was saying that nothing had happened to her, and just then the light in her room went out, and shit would always happen every time someone would mention Mr. Jalbert. The girl seems all right now, but she still avoids me. Just the look in her face when she looks at me, it's as though I am a bad memory to her. All of the activity really stopped after his wife passed away. Don't play with the Ouija boards. Okay, so let's check to see if there's any calls in queue. No calls in queue. There's 46 minutes left of the program. So if you want to call in your own scary story, have you ever seen a ghost? Have you ever played with an Ouija board? Have you ever seen an alien? I'll take any calls you have. 646-787-1694. And you can call and tell your scary story. That's right. You can call and tell me what frightens you. Okay. Let's find another one. Hopefully I can remember all these links because I have to add them to the descriptions when I'm done to give the authors proper credit. They always deserve proper credit. I really respect these authors that just, they put their stories on this creepypasta site and let us read them. And I really think that's pretty awesome. Oh, let's see. What is Red Rose? My son used to be really scared of the Red Rose movie, which was actually the Winchester Mystery House movie, but it was called Red Rose. I don't remember why they called it Red Rose. But he used to be so scared of it. R.I.P. Spooky's phone. Oh, because it was dying and, yeah, running out of whatever. Oh, let's see what's going on in the chat. If you're listening on the podcast, the night that I have this, I know I can do chat on the podcast, but for some reason the chat doesn't like my version of Flash. So also, this is on YouTube. So you can click on the YouTube link, www.youtube.com/spookyboo scary story time, and it will go to a page that will have the what's going on right now with the chat in the live video. So, hello, mystical astronomer. How are you? I'm reading scary stories tonight and waiting for people to call in their spooky stories. If you have a spooky story, you can call me at 646-787-1694. It's right there on your screen. Shadow people, yes, EVP, and a giant white bat. I will call one day, hopefully. Yes, I would love to hear those stories. You know what's kind of cool? And I don't know if this is mystical or if this is just a coincidence, but we have an owl that lives in the palm tree. I think I've said this before. We have an owl that lives in the palm tree outside my house. And I know it's a she. She's got eggs. There must be baby owls up there, because I've found eggshells, and they resemble owl eggshells. Well, today she left me a beautiful feather. And you can see that feather on my Instagram. I have it stuck in my acoustic foam on my wall. And she left it for me. Now, somebody said that was a message. And somebody else said it's an omen. She always says, oh, the white owl. She says the white owl, if it flies in front of you, that somebody's going to die. Well, I'm sorry. I see the owl all the time, and no one has died yet. Because it lives right in my backyard. My dogs hate it. That's what my dog barks at 7 o'clock at night. Once it starts to get dark, I'm pretty sure he's barking at the owl. I have to name her. Find out an appropriate name. But she's really sweet. And she's not afraid of, well, I mean, she's afraid of me. She'd fly away if I walked up, but she stays there. It's her home, and it's so cute. But she left me a feather. She does that sometimes. So, as long as my cats don't get it, because my cats are just freaking out, Gigi, the big black cat, that you can find on Facebook, by the way, as Gigi, the big black cat, was trying to attack it. He wanted to eat it because he's a brat. He's this huge, huge cat. He's got to be part Norwegian forest cat or Maine Coon. His sisters are big too, but they're not like him. He's huge. And he's just, I don't know, you'll see in the pictures. He doesn't look big in the pictures unless you compare him. I don't take very good pictures of things. Which is why I don't take pictures of myself. Because I'm really crappy at it. Okay, let's see if there's any calls. No calls coming in. What's going on in the chat? Name her Artemis. Panther. And Gigi's like a panther, but he's a tuxedo cat. So, you know. I took one of those EVP things in my backyard on the phone. I'm going to tell you what happened. I think I told the story one night, but I think there's new people here. So I put one of those things, I think it was an EVP, I don't know, it was one of those ghost sensor things, and I put it on my phone, and I would just sit here and watch it. I thought it was a joke. I'd watch like the little spirit things go by on it, and it would come up with words. None of them which made any sense to me at all. They were just real words, but I have no clue. So I go outside the backyard. My backyard is dark. I'm sitting there in my chair, doing nothing. So I turn on the ghost thing, and I go outside, out in the back, and I start walking into the dark area. And suddenly this thing goes haywire. It's pitch black, okay? I could see my house, which has the porch light on. But when you go in the back, there's like lots of trees and a big fence, because in California, we all have big fences. Trees and a big fence, and the neighbor doesn't have any lights on. And this thing on my phone is like making this real deep noise. And this thing is flying right over my head, according to it. And the sensors, the graph is just going boom, up and down, all over. I'm like, what the frick? I went running back to the house so fast. And then it spelled out four words that I have no clue what they meant. Yeah. And that was right under where the owl is. So who knows? I want to try it again. Oh, and after that, my camera, I had to reset my phone because the camera stopped working on it. So I had to reset it and restore the Android software, which was a drag because I lost a lot of stuff. Anyway, and it's probably backed up on Google. Google, the big brother. You know, remember that if you have an Android and it's hooked up to your Gmail account, it is backing up your pictures to your hard drive. So if you're taking any pictures that you should not be, you shouldn't be putting on those on your cell phone anyway. But if you're taking pictures that you should not be taking and keeping them on your cell phone, which, hello, please note that they might be uploading to Google. So you better go to your Google Drive and check your Google Drive and make sure that you don't have any pictures on there that you don't want on there. Even just regular pictures, if you have like family pictures and everything, I don't think they're shared out on the internet, but still, anyone can get your password at any time. So you don't want to just store things in there because, you know, you have privacy. You don't want people to see your kids. And I know everybody posts pictures of the kids on Facebook and stuff. But if you have little tiny kids, you don't want, you know, people in those pictures. There's weirdos out there. Anyway, name the owl Hootie. I don't know what I'm going to name her. She's not going to know her name, though, because she's friendly to me, but she's not really friendly to me. She's not like a pet. You know, some aliens make themselves out to be owls. Have you seen that picture of the baby owls that look like aliens? That's pretty cute. It's so funny when people freak out over pictures like that. We have a lot of people on Facebook that really need to stop and think about things. One thing that cracks me up are the videos of animals that are supposedly doing really nice things, and people send them around and say, oh, look, the dog is covering the fish with water. The dog wants to save the fish's life. And I'm just shaking my hand, my face, and my palm, thinking, no wonder why we need safety pins these days and color crayons. The dog has been trained to cover the fish with water to keep it fresh and somewhat alive until it gets put in an ice chest to go home to be filleted and cooked. That's why the dog is covering the fish with water. And you tell them that and they freak out. Because, God, the dog must have some really good brains. Brains. All right. Watch The Fourth Kind. Is that Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind? I remember when, this is going to age me, isn't it? When Close Encounters of the Third Kind came out, I was like a little kid. And I was just, I didn't get the whole thing of it. People were like watching it going, oh, they play music. I'm like, but Mom, they're aliens. They're going to eat people. You know, I don't even remember the movie. I just remember it was silly. Well, yeah, there's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which is right before The Fourth Kind. Was The Fourth Kind like a sequel to that? Or is it totally different and they just named it that and the aliens are evil and mean? Because I don't see aliens are going around probing people's butts and taking them up on spaceships and drilling in their teeth. I don't see them as this superior being that everybody likes to say they are, because they're, oh, they've come to Earth, they're going to clean us up, they're going to save us because we're so bad to the Earth. No, honey, they're going to take you up in your ship and impregnate you and then take the baby away and give it to someone else. I mean, listen to the stories. They're going to scoop your eyeball out with a spoon and put it back. I remember hearing those stories. They're horrifying. It's based on a true abduction movie with the real life footage. It has real life footage. You know, there was one show that said it had real life footage. And one day I'm watching the show. I finished watching that show. And then a few days later, not that show you're talking about, but a different one. And a few days later, it was a space show on Nickelodeon. I don't know. I'm like looking at it going, this is really weird. They're trying to be Star Trek or something, and it's really tacky. And it had the actor on it that was in that one show that said it was all true. It's like, you bunch of liars. Uncle Ulrich wants an alien baby. Okay. I have five kittens. You can have one. No, you can only have, you can have one of the four. The calico is taken. Some, that one is spoken for, but there's three tuxedo and one gray one, and they are so cute. And then this mama cat's going to get spayed because she keeps on going. Every time she sneaks out, she gets knocked up. So, all right. You can still call the show. There's 33 minutes left. 646-787-1694. Let's see. I don't know how we went from ghosts to aliens. But I have some alien stories. Someone call. You don't want to hear my alien stories, Uncle? I keep telling the same stories over and over again, but because nobody calls. So somebody's going to call. On the podcast tomorrow, if you are listening to this, I'm on Sunday night through Thursday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific time. So you can come online and give me a call, 646-787-1694, and tell me your scary story, because I know you're out there listening. I know you're out there downloading, so don't forget about it. If you need to be reminded, you can go to my Facebook, facebook.com/spookyboo scary story time, and there is an event calendar on there, and just sign up and have it remind you. If you don't have Facebook, you could sign up for the email, but I tend to not let the email. Sign up for the RSS feed. I mean, I guess the email can, email does email you every day. So, yeah, you can sign up for the email, too. Or, even better, I should be putting this on Patreon, too. You can sign up for Patreon, starting at $1 a month, and support the show. Yay, I like that idea. Okay. You can call in, 31 minutes left of the program, 646-787-1694. My alien stories. They're not exactly mine. They're stories of my kids. And if my kids knew I was telling this, I would be in a truckload of trouble. They'd deny anything. Okay. So, my oldest, who will remain nameless, when he was a little kid, I've told this before, when he was a little kid, he had a friend named Dee-Dee-Da. Dee-Dee-Da. Okay, imagine that. D-E-E-D-E-E-D-A. So, I'm just thinking, oh, yeah, it's a friend. It's an imaginary friend. He said, I mean, he was about four, I think. So he would sing the name, Dee-Dee-Da, Dee-Dee-Da, sing this name over and over again. And then one day I'm in his room doing something, I don't remember. And he says, Dee-Dee-Da comes into my closet. I'm like, what? He's like, Dee-Dee-Da comes into my closet at night. I'm like, whoa. You're having some whacked out dreams there. It's like, no, it's not a dream. So then, oh, somebody saved me from telling the rest of the story. We have a phone call. Hello, it's Spooky Hello? Boo. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi there. My name is Greg. I'm from Toronto, Canada.
Hello. Oh, hi, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm good. Thank you.
Excellent.
So what's your
story? So I just had a really... this happened to me a number of years ago. I'm in a condo now, but I used to live in a house. So picture this. My old room, while I was doing renovations, I was in a basement and there was no windows. And where my bed was positioned, it was right up against a wall, so there's no natural light. I had all the lights completely off.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you a picture. And then I fell asleep. And I had this really sort of vivid dream where I was going through this house. It kind of looked like one of my grandparents' old places. And
okay.
I saw this weird figure sitting in a chair. And the face just didn't look right. It was sort of pale and veins. And I have a medical background. And just from that perspective, it just it didn't look right. So as
mm-hmm.
I was sort of moving in to look at this figure, this other figure jumped out from behind it, and it sort of startled me awake. And the so after I was startled awake, I popped out of bed, and the after image of that face was actually burned in my retina for a good 30 to 40 seconds. And again, keep in mind, there was no light source, no natural light. I was pretty much face up against a wall.
Wow. So it was like illuminating
itself.
Sort
of, yeah. Like, you know, if you stare at a light bulb for too long, you get that sort of aura burned into your retina.
Right.
It was like that, except there was no light source. It was just the after image of this face. Like, it was very, very clear. I could see the outline of the sort of the pupils and everything, and just some of the facial structure.
Creepy.
Yeah, so to this day, I've never really truly been able to explain it.
Was it more like a ghostly face, or like that alien face with the big eyes or anything like that?
It was very, it did look like a cadaver.
Oh.
Yeah, like it was very pale. There were some veins. No decay or anything. It didn't look right. It was almost like if an embalmed body had been left for too long, maybe out of refrigeration.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you haven't
seen
anything?
Here and there. I used to see a lot more things when I was younger, but this is probably just the most recent thing that I really couldn't explain off the top of my head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you have kind of a clairvoyance.
That's my story. I just wanted to call him. I wouldn't say that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in.
Not a problem. Big fan of the show. I'll keep listening. You have a great night, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was pretty creepy. I like that. I want to hear more of those. So call me with your stories, 646-787-1694. Thank you for calling into the program. So, on the aliens, no, dang you, I'll keep going until I get another call. So on the aliens, so he kept singing Dee Dee Da, and then what happened next? Oh, as he grew older, it never really stopped. So we moved from that location to, in that same location we were at, I'm not going to say it's city, but what the heck, it's in Napa. In Napa, in our backyard, we had really tall weeds because the rocks were really jagged and you can't really mow it or anything. And I'm like the worst gardener in the world, okay? So I don't know what to do with this stuff. And my husband doesn't do anything like that. So when I wake up one morning, after he's telling these stories about Dee Dee Da, I go outside and I look, and there is a flat circle. These weeds outside of my house, they're about up to my knees or higher. But right in the middle of my backyard, there is a circle. All of these weeds, these grass weeds, are flat in this circle, a perfect circle. I kid you not. I'm like, what the heck is this? And I'm like, did you come outside and play with anything? Did you do? We don't go out there because the rocks are so jagged. You have to wear shoes. It was not fun. And everybody's like, no, we weren't outside. What is that? What's going on with that? I'm like, I don't know. So anyway, moved from that place. We moved from that place and we moved to another place and closer to work, to my work, because I was always the one who was working. And we are, we're in this house, a decent house. It was kind of, you know, it was a friend's house. We're actually renting it from a friend. And it had a really loud central air heater. And in California, it gets cold and foggy sometimes out of the year. So it was cold and foggy one night. And I was expecting the heater to go on. And I thought, you know, I hear this noise that's like this deep, low hum, like this electrical hum, and I'm thinking it's a heater. Well, while that's going on, the heater kicks in. What? What is that? And I go outside and look, and the fog is so thick that it's hanging over the house. And I'm just like, whoa, this is creepy. And I go into the bedroom, and my son comes into my room. He's like, Mom, I had a nightmare. I'm like, okay, go sleep. And the baby's sleeping next to me. And my son goes to sleep. So when the baby gets a little bit older, he's sitting in the hallway, and I'm walking through, and you have shadows. When you walk in, your shadow gets longer and longer and longer. Well, I'm walking like that. And the baby says, when he's about a little over a year, he can talk at that point. And he's like, that's Beba, Beba, Beba. I'm like, oh, God, what? He starts talking about Beba. I'm like, come on, man. And this real tall, long shadow across the wall, which was my shadow, but it was at a point where he couldn't see me. And he's like, Beba, Beba, dee-dee-da. So then the next night, or a little while after, I don't know, we go into the video store. And you know you might not be familiar with this movie. I don't know. It's called, I think, Communion. And it's got a picture of your typical Zeta Reticuli alien head on the front of it. My son is walking by it, and he says, oh, that's Tita. I'm like, what? He's like, that's Tita. I'm just like, oh, what is this? And he starts talking about it. Dee Dee comes into my closet and takes me up in his spaceship. And I'm like, does he hurt you? He's like, no, he doesn't hurt me, but he hurts the, and he names this guy that I don't even know. He hurts whatever the, I don't remember the name of the guy. He hurts so-and-so, but then we go home. And I'm just like, come on, man, just, you're having bad dreams. And he'll deny it to this day. He denies any of this now. So later on, I was playing with, I don't know if you're familiar with the Mac. There's a program on it called ResEdit. And it's a resource editor. So I'm changing an icon for something with a resource editor. And it was a little, I'm changing like these little icons in this game that's kind of like Tetris, but they're with balls. And my son comes in, he looks at one of them, and it's white, and he says, Dalek's like Didia's head, put big black eyes on it. I'm like, great. So then we were driving through the mountains, and we got lost. And it's at the point where, you know, it's at the point at night or in the evening, dusk, when, you know, it's completely dark because it's surrounded by trees, but if you look up, you can see the light. So we're going through these mountains, and I'm lost. My son's like, Mom, we have to get out of here. We have to go. Dee Dee Daw's going to be here. We got to go. And then after that, I know we were down at the end, bottom of the mountain and found our way home. I don't know how we got home. I don't know how we got out of there. I don't remember. It blanked out. And him too. And then, I see if I remember it. And one, the younger kid talked about a raccoon with something that looked like a raccoon with big dark eyes in the barn. We were staying at my mother's house for a while. Just really creepy stories like that all their lives. And my son has this little white spot under his. He lets his hair grow over it. He has this perfectly round circle. If he shaves his head, you can see this white spot in the bottom left corner of his skull where his hair grows out. It's a perfectly round white circle. And he doesn't say anything about it. He's like, yeah, whatever, I don't know. So those are my alien stories. Creepy as hell. Probably just coincidence with something. So if you have a ghost or an alien story. Ow! Cat, don't do that. Sorry, my cat just stuck her claw under the door trying to get me to play fetch. Little brat. Oh, that's Gigi.
Hi, Gigi, big black cat. What are you doing, honey? Hello, handsome.
If you have a story, you have 18 minutes left where you can call 416-780. Oh, I almost said the wrong phone number. I'll delete that in the program. 646-787-1694. I was reading my phone number, actually. I'll have to delete that. So 646-787-1694, and you can call in your own scary stories. Do it. Call in your own true scary stories. I would love to hear them. All right. So let's see if I can find another creepypasta. I demand your stories. Call your fiends. Call you fiends. Oh, yes, Uncle Ulrich. Tell them to call. Check his molars. Oh, to see if they drilled into the thing. Look at that. All your messages just suddenly popped up. That's so weird. Just stuck on this other stuff. Okay. That is wild. Yeah, I like that too. Finish your story. Bud Hopkins. You know, that sounds familiar, but I don't recognize the name right now. Dude, that's so creepy. Oh, yeah. No, Whitley Strieber. I know who Whitley Strieber is. I've listened to him on RL way back when. Check his molars. There we go. Now I'm caught up. I demand your stories. Call. I know. So when you're on Facebook or whenever, what would really be helpful is when I put that the show's coming out, first subscribe to Spooky Boo Scary Story Time on Facebook. I know that's a name. That name doesn't really match the show, but that's what it's going to be, because the first hour of the podcast is, in fact, scary stories. People love those and they listen to them. I also have a phone number that people can call and leave their message, although I didn't pay the bill for it. So I have a phone number, another phone number with an extension on it that you can call that one too, and leave your story in your own voice. The information is on scarystorytime.com on how to call into that. It's really simple. But if you have a story now, you can call it 646-787-1694 and tell me what's happened to you. Have you been abducted by aliens? Has your family been abducted by aliens? Do you think the earth is flat? If you go and look at my Facebook poll on that, there is a surprising number of people who believe the earth is flat, or they are trolling my poll. That sounds terrible. They're trolling my poll. Anyway. So 15 minutes left in the program. Or if you're like, you want to be interviewed, I save interviews specifically for Sunday nights, because Sunday nights are one night out of the week. People don't have to listen to the stories. They can listen to interviews and other things going on. One night I had someone come on who runs a Godzilla. Actually, it's a monster theater, and they travel around. It's really cool. I had that on, and I've had guest authors on. Sometimes if their schedule doesn't fit with Sunday night, if they have like other nights off during the week, I'll do that. And then we could take calls after that. But usually I like to try and stick to Sunday nights. And in October, we're going to have Jim Harold from Jim Harold's Campfire. Yay. Whoops. I got excited. Hit my mic. Oops. And that's all I have scheduled right now. I'm going to have K-Ban and Kellum back on, because that night the mic was so, I don't know what was going on with that, the connection. So I'm going to have him back on, and I'm going to go back and look at Killahawks too and see if his was intelligible. If not, I'm going to or if you can hear it. And if you can't hear it, then I'm going to have him come watch it on too. And I'll take other creepypasta authors, but I just like to try and keep them on Sundays if it's not possible, then other places. The Earth is a cube. It's a banana. A surprising number of people also have low IQs. Killahawk was fine. Okay, good. Okay. That's perfect. So I liked his new story when he had the southern guy on there. That was fun. Oh, should have gotten to acting. Anyway, so remember, if you have a scary story, you can call me at 646-787-1694. And more information, if you plan on calling on another night, you can call or read that page and find out how to call in as a message. You can also send in your story. It's just when I read it, YouTube doesn't really like that, and it doesn't really sound as genuine when I read it for you. So I can, but if you call in and tell it, it's even better. I think that's cooler than just reading your story. So what else? Since nobody's calling in right now, 646-787-1694, what are their scary stories that I have that have happened to me? Wait, what does that say? Acting. You seriously don't want to be in Harvey's casting couch. You know what? I wouldn't be stupid enough to fall for what he did. I would have kicked him in the... Anyway. I'm sorry, but my job, I can do things without having to, like, do things for somebody like that. If somebody ever, I'm very outspoken, and if somebody ever did that, I would be telling the world about it right then. I don't care if they try and ruin my career. Excuse me, but my high-tech career was ruined already by stupidity, being married to the wrong person. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. So, I ruined that one all by myself. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. If somebody had done that to me, I would come out right out and say it. These chicks waited so long. That's just whatever. Well, I just ran out of gas on the freeway and just had to walk a mile and a half with three kids. That was fun. Oh my gosh, really? Wow. That happened to me once. I ran out of gas on what is that bridge called? Is it the it's not the Carquinez Bridge. I can't think of the name of the bridge. It's the one that goes from Los Altos or Mountain View to the East Bay, I think. Hello? I've lived in the Bay Area all my life. I can't even think what it's called. Duh. Anyway, I ran out of gas right there and was barefoot and pregnant with a four-year-old. But I'm glad you made it home okay. Wow, that's crazy. I'm sure it was Wednesday, but nope. How? What? That's not far. That's far when you have little kids with you. Hey, Kay Bannon and Kellum, are your ears burning? We were just talking about your show and having you back on soon. Say hi. Hi. Well, it's almost over. 9 minutes left of the program. Taking people's calls, 646-787-1694 to call in your scary, creepy story. It's been going really fun. So I don't have a date on that yet. I will get there. I just started using OBS. So you can tell all of these cool things that I'm doing with OBS. And I don't know. I'm hoping the podcast is recording right now because I can't even tell. So crazy. So very, very crazy. But, yeah. Denise, we had a call tonight too. It was a really cool, creepy story about a creepy, creepy, ghostly figure in another room. And I told about my kids' alien stories. You'll have to catch it back on. Catch it tomorrow on the podcast or on YouTube. I prefer people listen to the podcast because of YouTube. Of YouTube's method to their madness or lack thereof method. So, podcast, or if you have an Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play podcast Spooky Boo Scary Story Time. Or no, you don't say Spooky Boo. You say, Alexa, play Scary Story Time. Play podcast Scary Story Time. And poof, I will just start talking. After a minute, I don't know, it takes a moment to load that. But it's on TuneIn, so that's how it gets on there. I love my Alexa. It's like my BFF. Seriously. I'm becoming dumb now. I have, you know, instead of figuring something out, I'll just ask Alexa. Alexa, what's 5 times 2? You know, and just, oh. 5 times 2 is 10. YouTube is the most confused about what they do. Yes, when I reapplied for monetization today, they were like, sorry, you have one more day. This is today. You have one more day. You have to reapply on the 19th of September. I'm like, really? And it said, it didn't say one more day. It says, you have one more days, plural. Alexa, who is the best uncle? I was like, YouTube, how hard is it to put a script in that says, if day equals one, then use day. You know, how hard is that? But maybe they don't realize there's a bug. I come from a quality assurance background, software quality assurance and networking quality assurance and all that crap. So I get really picky when I see bugs and user interface bugs and those kind of things. So that's why I'm ranting on them. I should tell them, so that they look like they can at least speak proper English, or they are educated, or they are a software company making millions of dollars, right? So much for their highly paid autistic programmers, right? Exactly. God, I hate this chair. Sorry for the squeaky chair. It squeaks and squeaks. So I will get a new one as soon as I can, which will be a while. So, 5 minutes left of the program. If you have a very, very, very short story you want to tell, a scary story that has happened to you, 646-787-1694. I'll tell you what happened to my sister one night when we were living in Novato. I don't know if this was before I was born or not, because she won't call in and tell me. She won't call in and tell it. So she was getting up at night to go get a snack. And she's walking through the hallway, and she sees this apparition. She sees this thing, this white, misty-looking figure of a human in the kitchen by the fridge, like it's looking in the fridge, but the door's not open. And it's standing there in front of the fridge, and she just stops. This is how she told it to me. She just stops and stares at it, and it looks at her and disappears. Doesn't walk away. Doesn't fly away, just vanishes. So that's my sister's scary story. You have to understand, this is coming from older siblings who used to roll their eyes into the back of their head and walk into my room and tell me their eyes are stuck. Mm-hmm. Which, they would scare me when I was a little kid. I don't know why they scare me. I watched Night of the Living Dead. I watched all the Creature Features movies. I wasn't scared of any of them. Oh, speaking of Creature Features, check out my favorite show today, Creature Features. It's creaturefeatures.tv. It's, and if you're from the Bay Area, you're probably familiar with like Bob Wilkins and John Stanley. Well, they came out with a new one this year with a lot of fun characters on it, and introducing old movies. If you go to any Comic Cons in the Bay Area, you'll see them there too. Lots of old movies, lots of really good, creepy old stuff. They have Night of the Living Dead and all kinds of good stuff on there. So check them out, creaturefeatures.tv, and watch it because it's a lot of fun. And go like them on Facebook too. I think their link is on creaturefeatures.tv. Just go ahead and go give them a like. Show them some love. And go like Spooky Boo Scary Storytime too. I'm getting demanding, aren't I? Because I am. White misty human, the oppressor goes. So she has no idea. It didn't talk to her at all. So, let's see. YouTube should not have bugs like that. For as big as they are, and as much money they backing them, they should not have problems. I know. I understand that they shouldn't. They shouldn't have bugs like that. They just probably nobody has probably ever reported it to them. And I'll report it on. I don't know. I have a couple of friends who actually work at Google. I don't think I know anybody who works at YouTube, but they work at Google. Maybe still. I don't know. Because I come from that software culture thing. So I don't know if I told them, if they would do anything, or if I have to actually tell you to. Probably tell you to. They're probably like looking at me like, look, we got like 14,000 employees on that. I don't know who does that. That's what I would say when I worked at Apple and somebody say, hey, can you tell me that with my Mac? I'm just like, no. I test products. Creature Features, that's how I found out about you. Yay! I love Creature Features. Are you from the Bay Area? So, yeah. Bob Wilkins was so much fun. I used to watch him when I was a little kid. Little kid with my brother. My brother would sneak up in like Saturday nights and he's much older than I am. I would sneak up on Saturday nights. He would just watch it. And we'd get some popcorn with butter and all kinds of stuff and just watch. Oh no, 90 seconds left. By the way, if you're going to start a podcast for your Scary Story channel or something, use Blog Talk Radio because they're a little bit more on the expensive side because of the call feature, but they're really, really cool. And the first very level, you don't even, if you're doing like a half hour program, which I'm not, I'm doing 2 hour, but if you do the half hour program, it's free. So if you have the phone calls, you just have to call in your podcast and do it that way. Or the lowest level is $12 a month, where you can just upload to it and you don't get the phone calls. But you know, compared to most places, it's really cheap like that. And some of them are not expensive, but you get iTunes. And I'm going to have to go soon because I got 36 seconds left. So thank you for joining me tonight. And please visit my Patreon and scarystorytime.com. Listen to some cool stuff. And there goes my dog. So y'all have a good night. Thanks for calling in. And I will see you again tomorrow night, Thursday, and then on Sunday. Thanks for, I guess, tuning in. That's probably not the right word. Thanks for streaming in, IPing in. I don't know. Have a great night. Night. Oh, it says 10 seconds, but the stream left. The lag is incredible. Good night, podcast people.